going on down there?
Hey, it's VawCon 2013. We've got our first interview of the con, and we're here with Clint Chapman. He knows I'm going to say it now, but he had quite a fantastic hat last year, and I kind of miss it, but you know, we'll see what happens. You know, changes year to year. So just for people who haven't seen the last interview, what is it you do with the Transformers brand in particular?
So I'm the global brand manager, and I work specifically on the Constructobots product line and the Beast Hunters product line, and obviously the upcoming movie product line. So,
mm-hmm. So a lot of the very mainstream stuff.
Very much.
And that's been where a lot of the focus of discussion has been outside of... people talk about generations, and it's clearly the way that things stay leveled and looking at us, the older fans of Transformers, or AFOTs, as the LEGO people would like to say. And there's lots we could say about that, but I mean, you know, the panel happened. There's a whole lot of IDW stuff going on in there. Clearly that partnership is going places that is working for both sides. And we're seeing some more than meets the eye love in there with, yep, with Swerve and Tailgate and, yep, and others. So I'm sure many people would just like to say, like, thank goodness it was Swerve and Tailgate that got in the line and not one or the other.
Well, that's the great thing is, and we have a ton of awesome characters that are going to be rolling out. I mean, the great thing is Generations is going strong. We've got a great relationship with IDW, and we're partnering together to pull together a toy line and a comic series that is completely integrated, and it's something that we've never seen anyone do before, and there's a lot of awesome characters that we're obviously coming out with right now and that are to come. So it's fantastic to be, you know, working with all these creative talents that are all also fans of the brand, and so we're able to give back a lot of love to our fans because, you know, we're doing things that we're all passionate about.
And you were able to get the current comic writers to do a lot of those tie-in spotlights. And the thing I noticed about them that I kind of liked was there's a period in some of the spotlights, like looking at the early, like the first four, one or two of them, you kind of get the feeling of like, oh, right, this is written for toy. But particularly with the James Roberts stuff, there was a very obvious sense of like he's worked out a way to do a comic for toy that is more than just a pack-in comic, that is really a legitimate piece of the fiction.
Yeah.
And was that difficult to figure out? Because I know that, you know, a pack-in comic is going to be a much different thing than something on the stands.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's funny because this the pack-in comic was actually both released in the comic as well as released in stores.
Yeah.
Where we, you know, we had a variant cover that was done for ours. But the great thing, it was also, you know, a bit of a test for doing this program, and you know, we revealed on the panel that in 2014 we're actually going to be, instead of just spotlights, it's actually going to be the entire Dark Cybertron
story arc.
That's actually going to be including every character that we're going to be doing in the Generations line. And it'll be packed into to our deluxe scale figures. So it started out with spotlights. Now it's going into, it's a longer term story arc. And so, you know, we're just continuing to work, you know, closer and closer with IDW in terms of, you know, how we're rolling this out.
And clearly there's been some good communication in terms of getting some of these really fan favorite characters done. I mean, primarily more than meets the eye has been the runaway hit with a lot of the older fans. Yeah. It's been characterful and winning a lot of people over. And the big worry when we saw this opening, you know, set of spotlight dudes, whatever Comic-Con that was ago, was that the Lost Light crew might have been a little bit too late to get in on the toy development cycle. So was there some push from IDW in particular on characters, or was it a readership thing?
It was really a collaborative effort. There are a lot of characters, you know, we wanted to span the entire 30 years. We're coming up against the 30th anniversary of the brand, and in Generations, we wanted characters that are going to span all 30 years. We didn't want to just do, you know, just G1. And so, like, you know, what you've seen today.
Oh, the Beast stuff and then Scoop of all, yeah, characters. I mean...
and so, yeah, I mean, you know, that actually has been one of the more interesting things is how do you bring together characters like Orion Pax that that we did in our first wave of figures, but characters like that, and then characters like Waspinator and Rhinox, yeah, and mash them together. And so it was definitely a very collaborative effort, knowing that we're kind of doing something that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it still could be really awesome.
It seems like it's almost bending mainstream toy marketing into a shape that will work rather than the other way around.
It's doing stuff that we think is really fun, and working with IDW and saying, okay, how can we make this work? We didn't, especially with 30th anniversary, we didn't just want, if we went G1, it would, just kind of be a rehashing. And, and having a mix of characters just makes it kind of awesome. And so that's been an interesting relationship, is saying, how is it going to work in toy, and how is it going to work in comics?
Yeah.
And actually trying to weave an interesting story together so that these different continuities can come together into something that's just rules.
And it answers a question that Universe had a couple years ago, which was, there was Cheetor and Hotshot, mm-hmm. but one of the biggest, not a big criticism, but a big comment was, this kind of was just classics more so than a look at the entire universe. And this is feeling a lot more like it's broadening the scope as much as it can while maintaining that G1 focus that the fans tend to want to see.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, obviously, I think originally when we first started showing the product line, I think there was some concern that we weren't going to focus on different continuities, that we didn't have any Beast Wars items, Armada, and I think with some of the stuff that you saw today is that, wow, we're touching on a lot of different things that are really awesome. It's not, we're not just boxing ourselves into one thing. And I think today was really the first time we were able to really show that in a big way, that when we say it's the 30th anniversary and we're celebrating 30 years of Transformers, we mean it. We're talking about going across 30 years, not just, not just 1984.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Generations, we saw a lot of it today, but it also feels like we've seen so much. There's little to really ask about where it's going that you'd be able to share. Cause I mean, hey, guess what, everyone? I can't ask him what's in like wave 5, because that's when I get black bagged. So, I wanted to move on just a little bit about the other lines.
Sure.
Now, Construct Bots, I came in actually during that part of the panel just in time to hear Shockstrip. we had a bit of a conversation already, so thank you for laughing at that.
Yeah, that's not a real name, by the way. That's me riffing, coming up with stuff. So don't worry, we're not coming up with Shockstrip. So
I'm not worried. But during the panel, I noticed, because it seems you guys are super excited about Construct Bots, and there were some moments where it felt like almost like you were waiting for the audience to go like, yeah, and it wasn't happening. I noticed you guys have a lot of the product out here. Is there an ability for people to get some hands on with that stuff? Because I feel like that's the missing link now, is just no one has messed with them.
You know what? We'll come back tomorrow. I have some packages in the back, and we're going to build them together, and we'll show you what we're getting excited about.
I'll bring my tripod. We'll film that.
Let's do it. Let's do it. We haven't. We're ready to go. And it's one where we haven't even had we haven't even had a lot of samples to really play with until literally this week. And so as we were setting up, you have some video or photos of some of the stuff we've been doing here, is we're just, it's awesome. I mean, yes, you can build a character. You put all the pieces on. You can convert them without having to take them apart. You can swap pieces between characters, which all of that's awesome. But then on top of that, it's a legitimate construction set. And so, we're building crazy stuff.
I saw in the cabinet there, you've got even that little accessory jet.
Yeah,
thingy.
Yeah. I built a Gimli over there. He's got short legs and big arms with an axe. Put together a tiny little roller. Sean put together this giant six-legged spider walker and stuff. And so, it's a legitimate building set. And so, it's not only just fun because you can, you know, you can create your own custom Transformer figure, which we love. But then, you know, we're really excited to see what people are going to, you know, build on their own.
Yeah.
You know, and so, so yeah, we're excited. And the great thing was, you know, we showed it at New York Toy Fair. I think then there was still a lot of, you know, it was very new. There's still a lot of questions of, you know, do you have to take it apart?
That was a big question I had even coming in here. I just had that answered actually about half an hour ago.
That was a big concern, is you have to take it apart. And no, you do not have to take it apart. It transforms just like a Transformer.
Because I feel like the play pattern you're describing, it's a lot of what I like out of actually a few indie toy lines, like Matt Dowdy's Glios, for instance, like just this hot swappable universal connection system. And like, I almost feel like the excitement I have for it is not so much related to Transformers as it is the concept. And I feel like that's the message that people maybe need, is it's not Transformers, the Construct Bots. It's the Construct Bots featuring the Transformers in this case. And it gives me that a bit more of an understanding of what it is. And of course, like, I think hands-on is that missing link.
Yeah.
Just knowing what the feel is.
Yeah.
Because I've looked at a lot of pictures of them. The concept made me interested. The head sculpts reminded me of what I loved about the larger Creo head sculpts.
Yep.
And definitely. I'm curious to see what these things are like in action.
And you really do have to, you know, get them in your hands and play with them. And it starts, you know, really becoming fun. But it's definitely... The great thing about this is that it really works because it's Transformers, because
they fit the concept so well.
And exactly. Right? It's like, you know, we've seen sets where you can build a figure, you know, people have done that. But to legitimately build a figure that converts, without, you know, having to put in pins and screws, you know, that's exciting, is that anybody can do that. And so from 6 to 60, you can actually build your own figure, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, totally. Just because, I mean, the place is getting silent, and we've got pacing people staring at us. I had one last little line of questioning, and this is kind of just getting right to it. On Beast Hunters, the big news there was the, as you put it, we had a conversation earlier, the attempt to make a new entry level for people. So the Deluxe and Voyager class... in it, like the bullet point reads not as well as it could, which is, it's kind of like the Legion and the Cyberverse Commanders. The Cyberverse line going from Legion Commander to Deluxe Voyager, it's kind of like the 3D models inflated a bit. They're crisped out. Mm-hmm. Crisped out with detail and a couple new accessories. And the thing I noticed, it took me a little while to notice, was the rejiggering, if you will, of some of the joints, particularly ball joints into universal pin disc systems. Mm-hmm. And that seems to have caused, you know, quite a bit of discussion in a very reactionary internet that we live in.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at them, and I've had my ups and down thoughts on them. I think part of it came from the Legion Bumblebee just being, in my opinion, a weak Legion toy among strong Legion toys. Mm-hmm. And I always want to call them the Predacons. The Predacons, the Terracon Predacons. I don't want to mess that up. The Abominus guys, two of them appearing in there, I think were what elevated that concept a little bit more. And I guess the question is, like, and we're restating things a little bit that we talked about, the quickest way to get this concept into plastic in a way where you can start testing it was, it seems, to get those strong Legion and Cyberverse toys just upscaled and filled out to be a bit more durable.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely. We took a we took a look at G1, and it's funny because we've been carrying around Jerry Javoyne's original Optimus Prime with us for about the last year. And you know, we had gotten to a point where, you know, it started out, and the original Wheeljack, I think, was about 5 steps. Mm-hmm. And then we looked at Movie, and it took 5 steps to convert his feet. Mm-hmm. And that's when we realized, and, you know, we're getting too complicated. You know, and as there's one thing with it being more complicated in terms of the Generations line. And we don't really want to mess with that a whole lot, because it really works, and it's just, you know, they're fantastic figures with a lot of articulation, and they're just great. The challenge is, you know, when it comes to those 5 and 6 year olds, is that they're having a hard time with figures that take 20 steps to convert. And so, you know, we don't, other than the Cyberverse, the smaller figures, we didn't have a real entry into the brand from a younger age. And we know that if we want to be doing generations another 30 years from now, you know, we need to get fans in at a young age so they can grow up through the brand. And so, you know, we looked at the number of steps it took to do, you know, Legion and Commander figures and said, okay, so let's start there. As you know, what if it was that easy to do a Deluxe and Voyager scale as it is to do a Legion Commander? And so that's where, the initial thought came about. And so you can definitely see on the Deluxe, there's a lot of similarity to those, Legion figures. The great thing is the Predacons are just awesome.
They really are able to pull this off. I think that without them, this concept would not have looked as strong.
Because
it already is, to an older fan, it's a weak concept to describe. You know, the Legion toys are bigger. People are like, what? And the Predacons, I almost feel like maybe on a design level, like they were just built for this almost. Yeah. I mean, Twin Strike has a very deluxe style head reveal to get to the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is the big question is like, whatever happens with this, and I'm you know, this is kind of a nebulous question to ask. It sure would be cool if those other three Abominus guys happened.
I've heard that once or twice.
Yeah, it sure would be cool. I mean, those other two guys, they've got those funny looking pegs and ports on their legs, but I mean, those are part of the design. So, you know,
you can't do anything about that.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get rid of that. I mean, that would be more effort for no reason. So
yeah, exactly.
Leaving those in. Which, you know, it's led to some cool speculation, and it's led to, I think, the one, I mean, there are collectors who are just like, they like big toys, they like simpler toys, but I think that the draw that you created here, especially by having those Predacons in the case, is just seeding that speculation, and it's added in, I think, just a little, you know, once the doom and gloom of the internet subsides, you've got that little conversation of like, hey, wouldn't a giant Abominus be cool?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the only answer I can get over here would, you know, that sure would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. well, and the other thing to help assuage the doom and gloom is those Voyager figures are kind of ridiculous. They're awesome. They are gigantic. And truly, when we first got the models of them, knowing that we had to put them in this year's Voyager box, which, by the way, is actually about an inch bigger than last year's Voyager.
I was going to ask if that Predaking fits into a Voyager box.
Barely. Let me tell you, we were sweating it because we got him in, and I actually didn't think it was going to fit. I thought we might have to like start shaving down plastic because he is so big that it's, you know, when you see it, especially you see it compared to this year's Voyager, he's gigantic. And the great thing is both the Optimus and Predaking and Voyager scale, not only are they gigantic, but they're beautiful. They look really, really, really nice.
Well, that was the thing that I think doesn't get across entirely in photos and descriptions is particularly on the Voyagers and the Terracons. Is that actually small tangent? Is that the word to call them, the Abominus guys?
Predacons.
So the Predacons who form Abominus.
Yes.
Okay. Because Terracons is already in here. The thing about the Predacons and the Voyagers is, I mean, particularly Predaking. I feel like the Predacons, almost by aesthetic, have won out here. Is this upscaling, the added surface detail to them, the use of translucent plastics, and the sharpness on them has made the concept have more strength than, say, the Bumblebee. I almost feel like, because as you said, this is almost like you're testing this out.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can see it in the disparity almost between Twin Strike and Bumblebee, or Windraiser and Bumblebee. It's clear that there is a place for this to go and a place where this has tested something and ideally can move away from.
Yeah.
Which leads to the one last question I had, which is, with this new approach, is this something that you're looking at carrying into the next movie line? Are you likely going to be designing toys in that realm over pulling from the Cyberverse toys and enhancing them?
I wouldn't say,
best as you can answer. I know,
I can answer very limited amount of that, but I would say that it probably wouldn't be an ongoing strategy of just taking Legion Commander scale figures and just growing those up.
That's not like the one path that we're looking at.
No, that's definitely not. This is sort of a we're putting our foot in the water in terms of saying, you know what, we need a deluxe and Voyager scale figure that that a 6-year-old can actually do, so that eventually they can get to what our generation's product line is.
And the intention is there to maintain generations
and to
maintain a collector bent, be it large or small, it seems.
Definitely.
All right, well, thanks for your time. There's a gigantic crowd of people behind us. Just they really, really want to get a look at this 3D Transformer sign over your head, so we got to get out of here. But thanks for your time, and hopefully tomorrow I'll swing by, and if we can take a look at those Construct bots, I think a lot of people would be interested to see what that's like.
Please do.
And you're still pretty cool with that. All right. See you later.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. This is WTF at TFW, and I guess if I throw a video onto this, Vangelis on YouTube. We're talking to Josh Lamb from Hasbro. I have a card here that says Senior Director Design and Development. Is that true?
That is me.
Excellent. So we're chilling out here. It's late night BotCon Saturday. We just had the casino night running. I guess it's still running strong.
It's running strong. It's just an absolute blast. I mean, this is so much fun.
It sounds like you've been enjoying some of the funny money casino stuff.
The casino's a blast. You know, we come here every year. The fans are great. Different rooms, all the different panels are outstanding. I'll say, you get to the casino night. Sorry, I'm a little tired here. You get to the casino night. You get to the casino night, and it's just fun because you're not only having fun playing, but you're just kind of really hanging out and just talking to people. And it's amazing. There's a lot of people that when you're working in the booth, certain people come up and talk to you. There's a lot of people that don't, and they just they don't know if they can approach you or not. But when you're in casino night, I had to talk to more people at casino night than the rest of the convention combined.
Yeah.
So it's really fun.
Cool. Yeah. It's great just getting to sit down and talk with anyone around.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Like adding the social aspect, that's what makes this thing a different thing than like your San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, totally agree. I mean, I sit there and just, playing poker with someone I don't know, and we're having talking about Transformers. It's a blast.
So you guys had your big panel today.
Yes, we did.
And Clint was leading the way on that one.
Yes, Clint did a remarkable job. It was really cool because that, obviously it takes us, year and a half to kind of ramp up a lot of the product stuff. And so we're kind of giddy to show it throughout the year, but to finally, get up in the panel and put some stuff up there, especially some, we knew some characters that people would be pretty, crazy about. We were excited to do that.
You hit some high points on Generation. Some of those comic characters especially.
Yes, yes.
More Than Meets the Eye has been quite a fan favorite comic series this last couple of years, I guess.
Outstanding.
Year and a bit. And seeing stuff like Swerve and Tailgate, going outside of that though, seeing that Voyager Starscream you guys are doing from Armada,
it's sick, isn't it?
A couple of us have been saying ever since that Hotshot came out, where's the Starscream? That was the other toy that needed that treatment.
Yes, yes. No, it's just stepping back, working with IDW has just been outstanding. They really are setting the stage for, and I said this in the panel, and I've said this, to people. You have a history of G1, but you don't want to be doing retro all the time. You want to reimagine the brand. And I think what IDW has been doing with reimagining the brand, with taking the classic characters that everybody knows and updating them with new modern contemporary looks, is a win for everybody. Everybody likes that. And so for us to be able to really partner up with them, take their styling cues, work with them, and give them some of the cues that we're looking at doing and true partnership, I think we're really creating a generation's line now and going forward. It's going to be contemporary, modern, fun, new, innovative. At the same time, all the characters everybody wants. I mean, it's just it's a win for everyone.
It feels like the synergy that was going on with Animated back in 08, where there was a real, there wasn't such a big divide between the media and the toy line.
You're absolutely correct. That was, the synergy that was happening there with the people that were involved was outstanding. And we're seeing it again right now. Just things are just kind of lining up. And it's amazing. You think those things could just happen easily, and they don't. There's a lot of stuff that has to be orchestrated for the partnerships and the timing and just everything to work out right. And it's happening right now. So it's exciting to be on.
And mentioning that synergy happened back with that team.
Yep.
One thing I mentioned to Clint in our interview was a big thing of this BotCon for me is, we've had a lot of people rotating out. We've got, Eric Zevenaler's over on Star Wars now.
Yep.
I believe Bill Raleigh's there now too. Greg Lombardo over on Play-Doh, which is one of our favorite anecdotes on the podcast.
Well, it's, I'll say it's one of those things where, you know we all, you know, to the group here in the building, you know, the group that's here at the convention and on your podcast, mm-hmm. you know, it's a dedicated Transformers fan, you know, and these are people that are just love Transformers. You know, a lot of us that are, you know, designers, especially, you know, toy designers,
man.
We love designing toys. And obviously, you know, I was coming to it from different angles, but, you know... You know, if whether you're a Transformers fan or toy designer or Star Wars or Play-Doh or whatever, you know, it's fun to be creative in a new medium. And so a lot of mm-hmm. people at Hasbro, you know, really seek that out. You know, you go, you work on a brand for a while, you have a blast doing it. But then you go, hey, look, what's that person doing next to me? Well, they're having fun over there, too. And I want to try that out. And so so trying to just keep that creative spirit moving within yourself, you know, it's exciting to move around and try different things. I know myself, I've been on NASCAR, Star Wars, and Marvel for, I think, 3, 4, 5 years. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on the Transformers brand. And, of course, I'm a Transformers as well as Marvel and other brands I've loved, you know, since a kid. But being able to bring new creative energy to something and being able to try something new out is exciting. The designers seek that out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the Hasbro brands, Transformers in particular, feels like in the toy world, it has a sense of prestige to it. Like, you almost can see in other toy lines that have a transforming feature mm-hmm. appearing in them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just see things where you see clearly a designer who wants to be working on Transformers just trying. A great example, Mattel's Green Lantern line, they had these transforming vehicles.
Yes.
And one of them had features in it where I was like, this guy just wants to have a robot mode. Like, it's a vehicle to vehicle, but like it's so creative. This poor guy feels like he wants to be working on Transformers.
Well, I'll say, it's amazing. you know, Transformers, just inherently, just the magic. You know, it's fundamentally... It's the idea of something that just that magically happens, and being able to, you know, give to a kid a toy that they can change and alter in their own way and do it magically is something that you know people always do. You know, you look at construction toys, you look at all kinds of toys that are out there, and it just happens at Transformers. What's amazing is the IP that's wrapped around it is just incredible.
Yeah.
So you know, you're taking that great play pattern, that great, you know, imagination, and then you're tying it to, you know, to these characters that. I've had 30 years now, you know, out there that just mean a lot to a lot of people. It's a perfect marriage.
Yeah, and on the IP end, something that we're seeing, especially this year, is the whole team, it seems, have been really invested in the Construct Bots.
The Constructor Bots?
Yeah.
Yes.
I keep calling them Construct Bots.
Yeah.
But they at the panel, there was clearly a huge panel side energy for them, and I was talking to Clint about this because it felt like there was a huge energy from the panel, and a lot of us were still like, we don't know what they are yet.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be taking a look at some of those tomorrow. I'm just wondering, like with the IP of Transformers, does that give you guys like almost like the confidence to be able to take like almost like a new little line, like a build line, like Construct Bots, wrap it in that IP and give it the boost it needs to be noticed?
You know, that's something that, you know, when you're saying the IP standpoint, you know, that's more to come there, you know, as far as how we're going to be addressing the Constructor Bots characters and their transformation, their customization.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of launching sometimes we want to launch an IP first before the product, vice versa. I think right now we're really focusing on the way to play. You know, if you see a lot of the characters are classic characters, you want to really kind of tap into what people know in the Transformers universe and bring to it a whole new way to play. You know, something that Transformers is so strong, it's so powerful, you know, and you want to, you know, re-engage, you know, and again, it's that more than meets the eye. That's a term that our CEO, Brian Goldner, uses all the time. He always asks us, hey, I want to see that more than meets the eye moment. What's that new more than meets the eye moment? And with Constructor Bots, you know, more than meets the eye is just, it's a whole new way to, you know, construct, customize, build, and then transform without taking it apart. It's a whole new way to play with construction toys.
And that was a huge thing for me because I think it's just that the information hadn't disseminated the right way. Yeah. It was this afternoon that I learned they don't come apart
don't come
to transform.
Apart. Exactly.
And it hugely changes my perspective on them.
And that to us was that was the key. The whole thing about it, I mean, way from the, well, let me step back. A couple of years ago, when we were here at the Pasadena convention, that's when we were at the, you know, as I mentioned, we were at the fan build contest, or the fan build day where you build your own Transformer. And we're going, well, this is just too much fun. And so we had down the path led us to construct the bots. But very in the beginning, the construct the bots, we said, look, you got to be able to transform without taking it apart. I mean, that's just fundamentally, it's Transformers. You transform, We've got to make that happen. And so we can work backwards off of that principle and creating a product line where you can, you know, you obviously assemble it and then it stays together and you can transform it back and forth. That was huge. And then what blew us away was we started testing this with kids. We brought a bunch of kids into our fun lab, a lot of research, and kids were excited about customizing. I mean, they literally, it was the kids that told us, hey, this is great. I get it. I love it. I want to customize it on top of everything else.
Yeah.
And we're like going, well, yeah, I mean, you can't customize it because it's all these pieces that are have a universal connection system. So just the fact that we went, you know, and we said, it's not just that you build it, you transform it, but you can customize it into anything you want, that got us even more excited. And so it's really exciting to be able to bring a new way to play Transformers to the brand and the IP that everybody already knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, construct or Constructobots.
Yeah.
Those were something that it was mostly actually after the panel talking to Clint and like actually hearing like the face-to-face passion for that line. I'm starting to more understand where it's coming from.
And you're right. It is something that, you know, internally in the building, we've been working on it for a couple of years, and it's been, we've got a lot of people on it because it's one of those things where, we have a foundation and we have a history of doing transformation, traditional Transformers pretty well. Mm. And even though they're incredibly challenging to do, we kind of got a process in place to make that work. And as I said in the panel, creating a construction toy line from scratch is just, it's really hard. You know, there's not many, it's not often a new construction system comes out in the marketplace because there's just a lot of investment, a lot of figuring out how it's going to work. And we just got so excited about it. We just, really dove in there and really worked our brains out on it. And what you see now at launch is just kind of our foot in the water, and you're going to see a whole lot more very, very shortly as that line gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I mean, even the 2014 Beast Hunter stuff looked like a marked improvement just aesthetically.
And it's just because we're learning. I mean, you do a set and you go, oh, hey, I can do this better. And then the next set you do that, you do it and you go, hey, I can do this better. And it's like with just any Transformer, you learn from the one you do previously.
Yeah, and moving around on that tangent, just one last little word about Generations. Mm-hmm. Taking a look at like what you showed that's upcoming, and going more so into those sneak peeks.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like you guys were also, like, aside from having a Beast aspect in there and this IDW aspect, and maybe it's an IDW thing I just don't know about yet, but having stuff like Scoop, a double Target Master of all things, one of the most forgettable things, but like diving deep into the niche on that one.
Well, that's the thing. It's cool. Well, thank you. That's going forward. We really want to make sure that Generations line is going to become bigger. It's going to become larger. As you already see, the number of items that we have planned is huge, bigger than ever before. But the Generations line is for the fan, and the fans out there love the obscure, crazy, bizarre stuff, and that's the things that we want to deliver on. I know for us, I mean, when it was first pitched for us to do Rhinox, I mean, I was just going, yeah, I mean, that's like so right on, and then to do a Rhinox that is, when it's in rhino mode, it looks like a real rhino. I mean, that was just, hands down.
We're getting to do him just on the $20 price point even. Yeah. Like, so he's sizable and he's the proper size.
And it's just, We want Generations to be that kind of fun, that imagination, and where people can go to retail and just be excited each time because there's always something new that's just unexpected. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing about Generations when it comes to these interviews that's a bummer is there's not much else I can ask you guys.
I know.
You showed us so much.
Well, this is one thing. We always talk about this. The big dilemma is, we've sat down. I know what we're doing for the whole year, and I even know what we're doing for... To be honest with you, we got kind of part of 2015 already mapped out because we have to work that far ahead.
That's a development life cycle, right? Like 2 years,
exactly,
roughly.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where, I guarantee you, if we came here and said, do you want to know everything for the next 2 years? Everybody would say, yeah, we do. And as soon as we would say it, everybody would be upset because now they got 2 years of nothing to know about. I mean, they'd just be waiting. So it's that idea of you kind of have to, dole out the characters, a little bit at a time. Just because, in reality, as a fan of things that I like, you want to always, be searching for the next new thing. And if it all, then all of a sudden, well, now I got a year of nothing to think about. So we do kind of purposely, roll out slowly. Not slowly, just kind of rolled out kind of how the product rolls out.
In a fluid way. Like stream of it,
Yeah, exactly. And we'll continue to do that. And again, because Generations is getting larger and larger, the great thing is, we got a lot of stuff to show. You know, we're going to show a few things probably at Comic-Con. We show a lot of stuff here, more than we planned. We threw some stuff in at the last minute. A lot of that Wave 2 sneak peek.
The sneak peeks were like,
you know what? Yeah. Just show. These are the BotCon guys, and these are the guys that want to see this stuff.
Those popped, because a lot of us coming into this BotCon, since it was so close to San Diego Comic-Con, a lot of us came in here thinking, like, this would be a pretty milquetoast panel, a lot of, like, you know, just wait 2 weeks kind of thing.
No. We made the big decision. No, this is the BotCon. These are the fans. These are the diehards that are coming to tier. We're going to show it all to them that we can. There's a couple things we're going to obviously show at Comic-Con. We're going to show then the fan poll. We want to save that one because, you know, that one we kind of put out globally for fans to choose. And we wanted to, at Comic-Con, where you really get a kind of a global fan, you know, general fan coming in. We wanted that to be a celebration in front of everybody, not just Transformers fans, but fans of just the genre of toys and those characters in general. So that's something we want to save for that. But we really... You know, we put in a lot more stuff in this presentation than we expected, so we can make sure we deliver to the fan.
There was a thing about the fan build bot, and this might be treading into SDCC territory, but it was something mentioned on the mic. I didn't quite catch it. I was in the back of the room.
Yeah.
It sounded like this is a toy, but I'm not sure if that was the impression I was meant to take from it, and I'm not sure if I can really ask for any more clarification on that.
What do you mean? You mean... Like, what were we going to do with it? You mean?
Yeah. Like, because I went into the fan build bot poll, assuming that this was going to become just a character. There'd be two pieces of art, maybe a comic appearance, and that'd be about it.
It's a toy.
It's a toy?
It's a toy. I don't know if that's been announced. Has it been announced? Why?
I don't know. I mean,
well, I just announced it, so there you go.
It was mentioned on the... Well, you, basically, what you guys showed us was, here's a silhouette of the jet mode.
It is going to be a toy. It's going to be part of Generations line. It is absolutely incredible. And as I even said, I think I saw on the panel or maybe after the panel, I can't remember now, it's been kind of a long day, you know, what the fans chose and how they went about it got us inspired. And down the road, this fan-built bot's actually going to lead into something even larger for us.
Cool.
Yeah, which is actually, it's pretty cool.
That was another thing alluded to, but the way it was alluded to sounded like an engineering design thing.
It's something, you know, it's just something bigger. I can't get into it.
Yeah, I don't want to press you
too much.
Yeah, I can't.
But it is, it's got some people back in our building, back in Rhode Island, pretty excited.
Yeah.
Because what, you know, one thing leads to the next thing, and you go, hey, you know what? You know, well, if we did this, then why don't we do this? And then it just snowballs into something much larger. So we're really excited. You know, I mean, the fans have really, I'll be honest with you, this is one of those things where, you know, 2 years from now, people are out there doing, you know, experiencing what we're going to be putting together long-term wise. They're going to go, hey, you know, we made that happen. We voted for that to start off.
That's what is gobsmacking me, because the whole time that fan build bubble was happening, I was like, we know the development cycle of your average deluxe Transformer. Like, the idea that this would lead to a physical product, not impossible, but I found it unlikely.
It's being worked on feverishly right now as we speak.
Well done.
Well done to you guys. Trust me. I mean, you guys are awesome.
That's really cool. Well, moving on from there, I guess, like, cause, I mean, we talked some generations, some construct, mm-hmm. Construct-a-bots.
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 Yes.
Before I wanted to talk a little bit about Beast Hunters, but before I get there, there's one quick thing I wanted to bring up, especially since you've got a very design side element to what you do here. Mm-hmm. There's a thing that used to be done by Hasbro. It's currently happening a lot in Takara Tomy in their interviews and on their YouTube channel, which is designer commentary on a toy once it's been released. Now, I don't know if I'm the only one. There's a couple of us. I try to be one of the louder proponents for any kind of designer commentary that could be released. I think would be huge for making the discussion more alive about the toys.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's something that I'll say. You know, we do. You know, we did the interview, I think, recently with Gizmodo, where they came to our building.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And it was a blast. You know, and it was me and Panzica, and we had Mark in the shop. And, you know, as great as those things are, I mean, they're awesome. You know, Gizmodo was a nice partner, you know, and everything. You know, that's half a day that we had to set aside. And I know, I mean, this is just like the lamest answer in the world. We are just running our brains out, you know. My guys get into work early; they work their brains out. You know, sometimes they miss lunch. If all the times they miss lunch, they go home, they put their kids to bed, and they work all night. You know, it's just this. There's just so much going on with Transformers that just trying to find the time to do anything is just It's challenging.
Yeah,
we do want to do something where we address the fans in a better way. you know, whether it be, you know, video blogs or and something that's not, I mean, obviously we're in a corporation, but, you know, some way that's a little more designer driven, you know, whether it be, you know, a blog, a video thing or whatever. And, you know, we sit there, we have a meeting, we go, yes, it'd be great, we'll do this, and every Friday we'll do this. Friday comes, we're just swamped. So,
yeah, I wouldn't want to see it. I'd love to, but I wouldn't say, like, oh, let's see a commentary for every single toy that comes out.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Even just, like, the prestige items, some of the thrilling 30.
I know.
I was looking at there was a video commentary for Masterpiece Lambor over in Tarantomi Land.
Yeah.
And it was so focused on just, like, really interesting little design elements that it made the conversation about the toy more vibrant.
I'll bet. You know, I know that when I work with my designers and they're talking to me about what their plans are, what they want to do, what they want to accomplish in these conversations, you know, I mean, they're noodling in the deep of it. And in fact, you know, and as you know, we work with, you know, Takartomi, you know, I mean, so closely, we're like joined at the hip, which is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is our relationship with Takartomi. Every night it is full emails back and forth. You know, every week it is, you know, video conferencing and or, you know, FaceTiming or whatever with them. But the emails, they capture everything. I mean, every single thing that we do on every single product is a detailed conversation between the designers on both sides. And those emails alone are just fascinating. I mean, you can, because I park them in all my different, you know, boxes for storage once I read them, just so I have a, you know, history. But you go back through and you'll read, like, you know, like you look at Rhinox. You go through, read the whole history of emails back and forth about Rhinox. And it's fascinating. I mean, it's like a chapter of a book. Because you're watching, you know, the development every step of the way, what's going on. And those emails, including sketches, you know, little, you know, how do you want to transform it? How do you want to change this? How do you want to do this? And it's the kind of stuff that, you know, I'm saving. Yeah. Someday, if we can get our act together, I mean, that would be a fascinating book.
A design, you know, of course, copy edited for content, but a book that had like that kind of
all that stuff
laid out. I mean, there are a growing number of fans that are, like, myself included, who are. We are, now that we've been in this so long, like, something that keeps a number of us vested is the process by which these things are made.
And
it's a far off future thing, but seeing stuff like, you know, Covenant of Primus, some of the other coffee table books, just artwork, this is one of those things where if it ever were to happen, I'd be there day one.
I'd love to put it out there, and I'd love to put it out there really in almost a raw form. I mean, our partner, publishing partners, do some gorgeous books. I mean, they put them together, they do. You know, they're edited appropriately, and the artwork's beautiful. You know, I'm talking about just the raw stuff. You know, these emails that, you know, just say, "Yeah, that's great. Change that to black." You know,
even that would be cool.
Just these little snippets, because you know, and the next email, "Oh, okay, I'll change it to black," and this mold got changed. You know, "Oh, hey, can we make that mold texture soft?" And, you know, change the PMS color to this. And it's just these little snippets of stuff. And, you know, it's polite back and forth conversation, but it's just. It's not, you know, it doesn't read beautifully, but as a fan, you read it and you go, "Oh my gosh, I get the whole history of what's happening."
Especially
inside,
like,
them.
if you're reading that, holding the final product, I find that amazing.
Oh,
that
I find that amazing, and the cool thing is I get to live it. You know?
well, the last major topic I wanted to talk to you about was just the Beast Hunters and the reveal, you know, of the more of an entry level series of toys.
Yes.
Out of there. Now, the headline of it. For your, you know, overreactive online fandom, the headline of it read kind of spooky, of people saying, like, "Hey, Beast Hunters, they're going to simplify stuff for the kids."
Yep.
And I went on Twitter actually just to see what people thought all that meant, having not been here.
Yep.
And so I was talking to Clint about this, and it looked like the basic idea was you guys wanted to have a way for kids to enter Transformers without having a 15 to 37 step transformation.
Absolutely, hands down. I mean, you know, I show you that G1 Optimus Prime I pulled out there. You know, the G1 Optimus Prime, I played with. That was Jerry Javoyne's. I had one. I played with when I was younger, and that was fun.
Yeah,
that got me engaged in the brand. You know, and that kind of experience. And you know, we do these tests with kids. I got kids. We do tests with kids. And I'll tell you, you know, it's great, you know, and there's a ton of kids out there that love getting a Transformer that's got some complexity to it. You sit down at the table and you play and you understand, you master it. That's a great way to, that's great. And that's awesome. But for the other kid out there who wants to just come into battle and transform back and do a car mode and transform back and, you know, back and forth, and really role play the experience of a Transformer, that's what we're seeing that with our Legions of Commanders. I mean, these kids are just, well, we have piles of Transformers around the room as kids come in to test. And they grab the, you know, first they grab the big ones, they play them for a little bit, and they love them. But then they go to the little guys, and then they go out and actually play.
Yeah.
You know, that's something. We actually sat down. It was me, my marketing partner, Jay Duke. We sat down with Michael Bay. I don't say that I'm often. It was a great opportunity. We sat down with him, and we talked about that. Because because even Michael Bay's talked to us a little bit about some of his frustration of how they got a little complicated.
Yeah,
you know, which is true. And... you know, we sat down and said, you know, Michael, you're absolutely right. You know, you look in your films, and in your films, you have Optimus Prime drives in, transforms within 2 seconds, and he's in the action battling. You know, and what do we do to recreate that excitement, that energy that you're seeing in the film? Well, we have Optimus Prime come in, and then you stop for 20 minutes to transform it. That's not capturing the magic that's happening in the film or in the animation.
Yeah.
And Michael Bay's like, yeah, you're absolutely right. And we showed him some stuff, some ideas that we're looking at. And he was like, well, yeah, that's fun again. You know, that makes it fun. And so with this, what you're seeing here with Prime was a little bit of a test. So that because, you know, as Beast Hunters, as we're ramping up for the movie, we wanted to try some stuff out.
Yeah,
it's very clear. You can take a look at it's a Legion scale figures. We kind of scale up to play with.
The impression I got was in order to get to this stage as quick as possible. Now that you know the concept, it seemed like the quickest way, most pragmatic way, was to take the Legion toys and redesign them taller.
Absolutely, that's what we did, and that worked out great for this experiment. And it's great. We've been testing the models out. They're working great with the kids. I actually that Bumblebee. I have a working one on my desk. I play with it all the time because it's actually a deluxe scale big Bumblebee. I just flick back and forth into both modes. I love it. As we move into the movie property, you're going to be seeing some stuff where we're taking that kind of thought process. We're not going to be scaling up Legions or anything like that. We're actually designing from scratch. So like, they'll have.
But within that so, box.
Yeah, but within that, within the spirit of quick transformation, you know, and getting to the action fast. And of course, at the same time, don't get me wrong, but Generations is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. If you're a fan, you're going to be getting. If you're a fan, especially in the movie year, and you like puzzle play, you're going to love it. And
it sounds like with showing that alongside Generations, it sounds like that's a way of assaging the fear that all Transformers is moving into the
No. Generations is getting bigger, and it is what it is. It is fun puzzle play. And then our line for that obviously is targeted more towards a younger audience. And again, when I say younger audience, it's styled really cool. It's all modern stuff. It's just done in a way that you can have to get the instructions out to transform.
Those Predacons looked pretty cool.
They looked awesome.
And I mean, it immediately had me walking around the Hasbro going, "Hey guys, you should do the other three." It sure looks cool if those pegs on the inside of the legs could clip onto a thing. That would be neat. I mean, those are just part of the character detail. They got to stay there.
But still, they came out. it was a great. I'll say. It was a great learning experience for us. We can't wait for those items to ship. I think especially our younger kids are going to absolutely love playing with them. That's been already proven out in our test results. And, moving forward, we really want to make sure that we have a clear, hey, if you want to play quick, we got that. And hey, if you want to sit there and do puzzle play, we got you covered.
Yeah, like it sounds like as long as the two play patterns are not canceling each other out in some way.
And they aren't. They aren't. What we did in the past was we tried to come up with one play pattern and try to make everybody happy at the same time.
Yeah.
No, that's not working. You know, you have kids that get flustered with instructions, and then you have fans that want to really play with transformation. So we're going to really, create two worlds to play in. And the great thing is there's so many Transformers fans out there, both kids and adults. There's room for both.
Yeah.
So, it's great.
Well, it's great to hear because, I mean, I was having discussions on Twitter already about, like, what motivations would be there. Like, there's the easy stated motivation, but when talking about things like, is there some kind of budget crunch or anything like that? I was saying, like, with Generations happening simultaneously, the money's still there.
Oh, it's
like,
nothing to do with budget crunch. No, trust me. When the end of the year, 2014's over with, and you're going to look back, you're going to go, man, that's a huge toy line. And you go, man, that is like, the whole line in general. It's going to be a ton of new stuff. Even if you look at the sneak peek for the 14 stuff, for Generations, we're doing a lot of new tooling.
The number of new head molds coming up. Like it's good to see. There was a little dip at the start of Generations with the clip on wheels and everything like that. We had been warned about at a BotCon previous of the economy having this kind of cascade effect in a year or two, and it feels like the line has really pushed itself back up from in the last 6 months or so.
Yes.
Just like with the larger accessories with the remolds, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like the up and up is there.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And I feel like getting that across is what is necessary to keep the conversation moving.
Absolutely.
The greater fandom.
Absolutely. And I'll say, back in Rhode Island, back in our Hasbro head office, is full steam. I mean, people are so excited about what we're doing that it's, I mean, we're having to do even, the stuff that we got planned for 14 is so exciting. We're actually getting our senior management saying, hey, make more. This is too good. Make more of it. So you're going to be seeing a lot of stuff, a lot of new molds, a ton of new molds, actually, and a lot of real cool innovation in how things transform.
Cool. Well, this room's filling up for some kind of auction, so I got one last question for you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you guys were expecting it, so how did it feel suddenly seeing yesterday tons of people dragging Metroplexes all over the place?
Oh, it was awesome. It was great. You know, we weren't sure if they're going to be sold here or not, and we worked it out so they could be sold here.
Yeah.
And the really cool thing was, was it Big Bang?
Big Bad
Toy Store sold it. They did an excellent job. You know, it's very easy to come to a convention and jack up a price on something.
When I found out they overnighted those from China.
They overnighted from China.
And they basically just tacked 20 on the price. I was like, how do you...
They did it out of love. I mean, I'm dead serious. Because they could have easily charged double.
Yeah, a number of them now in the dealer room are 200.
But the fact that they charge an appropriate price for shipping overnight, which things are huge, as you know, it was exciting. And seeing everybody carrying them around, I mean, we've been working on that Metroplex for a couple of years now. We were excited to get it out there. It took quite a while. And just the fact that people are excited about it, there's going to be some more. Again, what you see in the Metroplex, what you see with Constructobots, what you seeing with just and where we're going, we're making this line bigger, more exciting, and the goal is that every time you go to a convention, every time we're always going to be showing newness, and things are just going to blow people away.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see what you guys do. It's been great talking to you. As I said, with the change in the faces we've seen over the years, and especially now with a lot of those faces moved on, it's been really a thing for me wondering, opening dialogues with all of you guys that we haven't talked to as much before.
Sure.
I'm really glad we're able to have some words back and forth
definitely.
Figure out what's up.
Definitely. And I'll say the team that's put together at the moment is outstanding. A real sharp group of people. You can see that some stuff that's happening here and stuff that's happening we'll be seeing next year. It's just it's thrilling for us. It's super exciting.
Well, to the listeners, hit the thread, discuss what we said, and let me know if I forgot to ask the cunning questions. Have you got any words for the listeners of the podcast other than don't listen to this and drive?
No, I just hope you love. I definitely we do this stuff. The designers that are doing this because they love it. This is fun, and hopefully that what we're doing is people are enjoying.
All right, well, that's Josh Lamb from Hasbro. That's myself getting booted out of the room. Yeah. Not necessarily, but this place is filling up.
We're going to go bid on some stuff now.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I got to go bid some stuff, and I need a drink, man.
Excellent.
I'm dry.
All right, okay.
Talk to you later.
Thank you so much. This is awesome.
No problem.
Good deal.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.